Rave Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of AV Insider. I'm your host, Johnny Mota. I am broadcasting for Rave this morning, and today I have special guest Mike Maniscalco, the co-founder of Ahiji. I will introduce him and have him talk in just 1 second. As always, I'd like to thank my sponsors. If you're most likely, this would apply to you if you're into like a commercial integration, and it didn't apply to me because I was mainly Resi. But if you're not already doing some sort of digital signage and you're in that field, you should check this out. If you go to hypersign.com, they have a whole slew of digital signage solutions, and that's just hypersign.com for the rest of us who are that pretty much covers the rest of our Resi or anything from speakers, amps, racks, and cables, mics, all that stuff. If you go to atlassound.com, you can check out any of those things I just mentioned. And as I said in the beginning of the show, I have Mike Maniscalco, the co-founder of Ahiji. Good morning, Mike. Thank you for being on the show with me this morning.
Morning, Johnny. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. You are the co-founder of Ahiji, which I'm a little bit familiar with, but maybe a lot of our clients aren't, and maybe some of the integrators who aren't using it don't know. Maybe only have heard of you, seen you at some of the shows, but aren't up to par on what the company has to offer and produces. So can you kind of give me a general rundown of the company and what it is that you do for us integrators and the homeowner?
Yeah, so Ahiji is a zero-maintenance, cloud-based network management tool. And I think the easiest way to explain that is just to break it down into a scenario. A lot of the clients, a lot of the integrators out there use Apple TV or some other product to deliver streaming services. And that could be music streaming, video streaming. The challenge is when that streaming service doesn't work and the customer picks up the phone and calls their integrator, nobody really knows what's going on. It could be the service provider. It could be the telco. It could be the streaming service out in the internet. It could be the wireless internet in the house. It could be the unit itself is bad. It could be even user error. But integrators today really lack any kind of visibility into what's going on. So what Ahiji's tool does is allows the integrator to get visibility into what's going on. So they can see the performance of the ISP, the performance of the local network, the status of the Wi-Fi equipment, the status of that specific device. So when they do have problems, they can proactively detect those problems. And then they can use our tool for remote access and resolution and log into that system and even do some repair. So Ahiji is a network management tool for the Internet of Things as the number of connected devices explodes.
At any point of time, the devices you're talking about, and you mentioned the Internet of Things, and I really wish we had a better term for that because we've been doing IP stuff for I don't know how many years.
Right.
But that seems to be the catchphrase for everyone to adapt or learn to these days. But so is pretty much any IP connected device in the home is what you are able to remote monitor and or diagnose?
Yeah, and the reason I like the term the Internet of Things is it just shows the explosion, the growth of connectivity.
Yeah.
You know, we started, it used to be you had a switch and a router and an access point in the house, and now you have Nest thermostats and light bulbs, Wi-Fi connected bulbs, and more to come. So it's really the explosion and all of that connectivity in the home that I like to refer to with that term.
Okay, and that makes sense. Like I said, for I would say, I don't know, that seems to be the term that people have been adopting, and that's when you say it, people pretty much know what you're talking about, or it's right. Still a little confused on the name. But IP connected devices monitoring and diagnosing. Are you controlling as well, or just kind of the diagnosis so that I don't have to drive out to a client's home and say, you know, oh, this is disconnected or you lost some packets here and there?
So today Ahiji is a support and management tool.
Okay.
We do limited control, and that control would be we can reboot devices, either hard or soft reboots. We can fully access any device for configuration changes, log management, administration, troubleshooting. But we're really not a control system. We're there to support the control system, make sure it's functioning reliably.
And for the most part, I mean, you're working with any type of control system so long as its devices are IP controlled?
Yeah, from a high level, any device with an IP address can be managed remotely using our tool. However, we do have specialty integration with certain devices, and that list of devices grows every day so that we can get extended visibility and extended control over that. device. So a great example would be Control 4. With Control 4, we can get extended visibility into the Zigbee mesh network and see the status of all the Zigbee nodes and soft reboot the processor. So that would be an example of how we can go a little further.
I see. I also saw, I was looking on your blog earlier this morning, where that you've, and this might have been a little older, but partnered up with APC.
Yeah, we've had a relationship with APC for several years. We have a good partnership with the majority of the IP power manufacturers, including Panamax, Blue Bolt, and Furman, all the way down to SnapAV. And what that allows us to do is integrate with all of those tools. Because we find most integrators, especially when it comes to power management, they'll go to APC for vertical rack mount solution. They'll go to SnapAV because they've got a nice two-outlet IP controllable device. And then they'll go to Panamax for their 8-outlet rack mountable unit. So they share multiple manufacturers across the same job. And what IHG is allowing them to do is have more efficient management so they can manage all that from one interface.
And how long has IHG been a company as a whole?
So we're actually going into our fifth year this summer. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, we've made a lot of progress, and it's exciting to look back and see where we started and where we come.
Now, taking a step backwards, even 5 years ago, there was, I guess, you know, the Internet of Things and IP control, but not a whole lot, I guess, as much as there is now. It seems to be people, like you said, with, you know, LEDs, smart bulbs, things like that, Nest and things, or things where you plug them in, and then you have, like, some sort of app, some sort of remote control or monitoring. Prior to IHG being a company, you yourself were an integration or owner of an integration company. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we had a background in pure software and computer engineering, and we came into this industry because we liked toys. You know, we thought this was really cool. We wanted to start a business, like a lot of the guys here, right? So we looked at what can we do to start a business. We were in the corporate world. So we want to do something on our own.
So
this made a lot of sense.
So when you were thinking, you and your partner or other co-founder, or multiple founders, because I'm not sure how many.
Yeah, there's three partners.
Okay. So the three of you, when you were thinking of this toy idea or company idea, back then, like I said, you were in an integration firm, and were you seeing, you know, like I said, you know, these devices all having IP control and things? Did you come up with this idea for IHG saying, you know what, would be a great idea and isn't currently offered, remote monitoring and diagnosing because of the problems that you solve, because that you know, something happens and you get in a truck, drive out and try and figure it out, and kind of being blind until you just kind of point it to point B, you know, is it this, is it the router, is it this device, is something unplugged? Did you just have a lot of those types of experiences that kind of just gave you this idea of, like, why does it have to be that way? Why can't I just look through my computer software? Like you said, that's your background. Why can't I just create a tool that does that for me and save me a lot of time and money and ultimately the customer money?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually a really good story behind it all if you look at how it progressed. In college, one of my co-founders, Stuart Wrench, we both worked at Bell South in R&D, and we were in their emerging technologies lab looking at network devices. So IP TV delivery, fiber to the home, DSL, voice over IP, all of that came out of those labs. And like I said, we graduated, went our separate ways. I was actually doing some high-level network management at the time using monitoring tools. And before we started the company, I thought that was really interesting. When I went into the AV world, we went into that world with an IT perspective. So all the systems we were installing were IP. And that was pretty cutting edge for the time. That was 2005, so IP connectivity for control systems in the home was still at its infancy.
Yeah.
And when we were doing that, we were stalling this, I was saying, why isn't there a better way to get visibility and to manage all these devices? So what we did is we went out and we collected all these IT tools that I'd been using in the past, and we tried to apply those to the home. And these were larger homes. And it worked well. It gave us extra visibility. It gave us the ability to remotely manage things and connect to things. But there were a lot of challenges with scalability, with upkeep and maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked around and tried to find a better tool, and there really wasn't anything on the market. So at that time, we decided to start to develop IHG. Okay. And the challenge was, when we developed IHG, is that it was a pretty big undertaking. So if we were going to do it, we decided if we were going to get into this, we might as well talk to the industry and see what others were using and see if there was a fit in the market. And that's when we decided we'd launch this as a company. So it helped us and some of our large jobs deliver better service to keep our organization as efficient as possible for the convenience. I mean, I can't tell you how many service calls I was able to manage and solve from my couch rather than having to drive to the customer's house on the weekend. It just,
right.
It made a lot of sense. So in 2009, I believe it was 2009, we sold that integration company, spun IHG out of it to focus on the tool full time. Started as a remote monitoring tool and kind of evolved into the network management tool. So it's a long story, but I think it's really relevant.
No, definitely. Now I have a question regarding the name. Is IHG some sort of acronym for something longer or?
We made the name up one day. There really isn't a good story behind it. There's several good stories that have evolved out of it.
Okay.
We've had a acronym for it, but it was very difficult to remember. We created a fictional kind of company character called Mr. Ihiji. He's got his Net Ninjas, which is the power reboots and remote access pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of play on the Mr. Ihiji. In Japanese, we're told if you translate it, it loosely means reflective. So there's a lot of little things, but there's no real good story, unfortunately. And being engineers and software guys, we didn't think of that up front. We're not really good at that story side of things. But,
well, I like the idea of Mr. Ihiji and his Connect Ninjas and such.
Yeah, that's been great. We at CD Expo, we raffled off a sword for the Net Ninja suite. So it was kind of part of our Connect Ninja release for the remote access piece. So we've had fun with it.
What shows can our listeners come find you guys at? Do you guys go to CEDIA? Do you go to ISE? Do you go to Infocom, things like that?
Yeah, every year we actually launched the concept and the brand at CEDIA in 2009.
Okay.
And we've gone to ISE the past 2 years. We do a lot of regional shows around the country with some of our rep firms. We're starting to do more of the IT-focused shows as well. So you can see us some of those. And Infocom, we will be exhibiting for the first time this year as well. So
now, aside from the dealers, because obviously the dealers try and sell the product or the service to the clients, how would a homeowner get some sort of demo for a basic understanding of what they're getting beyond, other than just some service and a little bit unsure, a little more in-depth knowledge of the product and service that they would get?
So we have a pretty wide dealer network at this point. So the best thing to do would be ask your dealer, and
okay.
The dealer has their own dashboard, and the dealer can give a demo, show their live office. So you actually see the system in action.
Okay.
So that's the best thing. We don't have a direct consumer product because this is a pretty complex tool. It's made for robust network management. So there's a lot of training and that goes into the system. So it's a professional support tool more than anything else.
Okay. Yeah, it's more for all right. Well, then I guess that'd be best to, like I said, dealer each has their own portal to give a demonstration of what they're getting.
Yeah, that's the beauty of our tool. It's a cloud-based solution. So when the dealer logs in, they can see all of the status of all of their client sites from one dashboard. They can access that site, do their diagnostics and troubleshooting, and then they have the ability to show other customers how they're managing all of their clients.
Do they have the ability? I mean, like, if they go to like a client's home who has an existing automation system that doesn't currently have IHG connected to it, is there a simple way for that dealer to, like I said, to give them that demo without connecting too many things to their house? I mean, like, if there's some IP things, are they able to? I don't know. Like, let's say, can get the IP address of the server or their system to connect to that, or
so some of our dealers do site surveys, and what they'll do is they'll take our IHG appliance out to the site, plug it in, and within a few minutes they can give the customer a complete overview of that network, show them all the devices on the network using our network scan, connect to some of their devices to show the status of that device. They can start testing the internet speed, so they can show the client the download speed and upload speed
mm-hmm.
that they're getting from the ISP. And they can do that within a matter of minutes. And that's a service that some of our dealers do offer. But like I said, because of the dashboard, they don't actually need to have that installed in that specific customer site. They can always show the concepts of their using a showroom.
Now, for your dealers, how does the plans work with your dealer base? Is it like a yearly thing? Is it a per project thing? Or
yeah, so IHG is a software as a service. And what that means typically in a solution like that is it's paid annually. So the dealer will pay us annually for the service and subscription. We manage the back end and everything for them as part of that fee. And then all the dealer needs to do is there's a small piece of hardware we call the appliance, which the dealer will put on the client site. And all that hardware appliance does is act as a secure gateway to our cloud system. So that allows us to that appliance and that site to join up to our cloud so the dealer can do all the reporting and access and control directly from within the cloud. And why that's important is it's very secure in that way. There is no firewall exceptions, no port forwarding. Ahiji allows them to do all of this without jeopardizing the security of the client site.
I see that, well, what looks like is the software itself is actually called Envision. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And is that what you're saying, that IHG might loosely be translated into English?
No, loosely it's reflected into or translated into reflective. From Japanese. Yeah.
I see. And where do you see IHG going from here? Do you think they'll get into beyond just remote monitoring and viewing, or?
Yeah, and actually we really started to make that push at CEDIA this past year. Release the Connect Ninja, which gives a dealer full remote access to any device on that network. And why that's important is because there's a lot of dealers who were traditionally using port forwarding to access those systems. But there's been a lot of discussion in the news, and you may have read a bit about this, of the hacker community targeting homes,
right,
using tools and basically exposing port forwarding. So what IHG is giving them is a more robust and secure way of accessing those systems to do troubleshooting, repair, change programs, things like that. And then another two features that we launched this past January were the speed test. So we'll run an internet speed test 4 times a day at the client site, as well as that network scanning capability so the dealer can see all the devices in the network and look for rogue devices. So we're starting to transition away from network monitoring, where network monitoring is just a feature of IHG Envision,
okay,
more into that network management tool where we provide a pretty powerful network management solution for a dealer. So what we're planning to do over the next few years is really evolve more into a network management solution for both integrators in the AV world, but also for IT professionals. And I think there's a lot of crossover there, so both sides will benefit.
With the you said the only piece of our hardware that you pretty much have is you said Connect Ninja, is that what that's called, or no?
So the hardware is called we just call it an appliance.
Appliance.
Because really all it is a dedicated purpose remote network management appliance. Plug and play, low cost, pretty simple. It's just that secure gateway for us.
Okay, yeah. So it's just a simple little device that I'm sure probably takes power on one end and some sort of maybe Ethernet out or something to connect to the system.
Yeah, that's all that's needed is power and Ethernet.
Okay, and then that allows a dealer base to access what's on their system network or whole home.
Yep, exactly. So usually the dealer plugs that device in. It's the size of your palm. It's a small form factor device.
Okay.
Plugs that in right to the router. And that'll phone up to our cloud system. They configure the system remotely, and it's up and running.
And now, for the dealer base, how for services and such, you know, are you guys like a 24/7 service company for your dealers, or how does that work?
So we are a 24/7 set of eyes and ears on that network.
Okay.
So our solution is managed and controlled by the dealer. We keep the system up and running. We do the heavy lifting as far as the development and the server management. But when it comes to the service between the customer and the dealer, that's all between them. So the notifications typically go directly to the dealer. The dealer will then call the customer or deal with the customer directly. Okay. So IHG is just a solution provider in that sense.
Right. But yeah, like you're saying, like in the sense of, I guess, monitoring and or all the back end stuff, it's just a 24/7 thing. And if anything happens, then the dealer is then notified.
Exactly. So we'll be checking all the devices in the home or business on a regular basis. If a problem is detected or if something goes offline, we'll notify the dealer with an email.
Okay.
The dealer can then log into that system using our Connect Ninja tool, try to solve the problem remotely, call the customer, say, hey, we took care of a problem for you. We noticed that it was happening on the system. If you do happen to experience any other strange occurrences, call and let us know, but I think we took care of it for you. So in that case, the customer never experienced any outage or downtime. It was just a proactive service that they were offering to the customer.
I see. It's not direct. It's not direct to what you're saying. I mean, it's a very similar story. I did this home 2007, 2008 here in California, and where it was very similar, where we put in, sensors everywhere to sense, different things, heat, daylight, time of day, things like that, back to a clock and the processor and water, where a client lived in Richmond Hills area, which is a really nice area up in Orinda. But he worked in San Francisco, and he has this room called the sunroom because the whole roof, opens up, and it's this big wide area with nice carpets and furs and artwork. And when he left, it was okay. But when he got into San Francisco, it was just a big storm. And so he'd remembered that he left his sunroof open, and drove all the way back and stuff, and everything was closed, nothing was damaged. And called us and said, when I explained the scenario, what was going on, and like, well, what happened? And I just said, you're welcome. And he was kind of confused as to why. And with that that system, it had a rain sensor, so it did that work. Essentially, what Ihiji is doing, it monitors and senses, okay, something is going on, and then it would, email me, like you said, your company would, if something went wrong. But in this case, it was a sensor that we had already told, if rain, close the sunroof, sort of a thing. So
Right.
that in that sense, it would be like email us and we would fix something. But at the same time, on the same project, I didn't have a way of monitoring things on the rack, short of having like Panamax, Bluebolt, things like that. They would tell, what was specifically just power loads onto that the device that didn't tell me things like, I had a media server that plagued me for years on that rack that was constantly the source, the problem. And so where he lived was about 2 hours away from me, a drive just to get there. And something wouldn't work, I can't play a movie and things like that. So this media server was always the source of this problem, and I would have to drive 2 hours to try and troubleshoot what was going on. And all I could do sometimes was, it was as simple of a, login, cloud via over to the Bluebolt and just kind of power cycle things as a test, just really quick, just in to see if I can, just reboot some things. And if when that didn't work, I would drive out there and try and figure out, what the problem was. And it was almost always exclusively this media server whose name I will not mention. But had I had some sort of remote monitor or using a Hiji at the time, I could have seen that this was the problem, and that would have saved a lot of time and headache on both parties. And and I think you guys were probably around back then, but it was a nightmare to deal with, and we've
Yeah.
kind of upgraded the system there since then. But
Yeah, I mean, everybody in this industry who's supported a customer has their nightmare stories.
yeah.
And really what the challenge that we saw years ago was with this explosion of connectivity, you're getting more complexity on the system. Not only more complexity, but also more parts and pieces. And as you introduce more parts and pieces, those parts and pieces are prone to failure, which means you're increasing the number of service issues you're going to have with your client systems, which isn't a bad thing. You're getting more for your money. The clients have more opportunity and options. They can stream videos now without high-end servers. So the client wins, the consumer wins, the dealer wins because they get to offer all these new services, but there's this new service headache. So what we're trying to address is this new service headache. How do you know it's the media server and not the switch, you're not the wire, not the ISP? You need that visibility today to manage all the connectivity.
I completely agree with you guys, or with you and your company and the whole being of IEG. That, I mean, I'm really glad that something like that exists. Like I said, years ago when something like this wasn't available, it was just drive and try and troubleshoot things and try and prove, okay, it's definitely this, and it's not a port that's bad or this, or just a long process that essentially, people don't want to pay for. But if you can tell them, remotely, so and you can show them things like that, you're saving time and money, gas, energy, a lot of things, a lot of factors. Especially like you said, when you're adding all these, components to a system and it just grows, it's hard to find that one, pinpoint that one item that is wrong, and it could be multiple things. But short of having to be there and check, point to point on wires and different things, it's really hard to say what it is.
And I think one of the biggest benefits for the consumer or the homeowner would be if you have a problem and the dealer can log in and reboot the problem right away, even if they don't catch it beforehand. If they can log in and say, did that fix the problem, and that fixes the problem for you, that's amazing service. There's not many other companies in the world that can give you that level of service. So
Right.
what we're helping our industry do is provide the level of service we've always wanted to do, put the customer first, and not have the customer sitting there waiting for the technician to have time the next day to come out there just to reboot a device. It's almost like instant gratification in a sense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for the most part, yeah, it's pretty darn instant, especially like you said, if you can just log in really quick and say, oh, it's this, and then try and reboot it or whatever you need to do, and they say yes, that worked. That is so much more convenient, easier, and time/labor saving than having to drive X amount of time somewhere to try and figure it out and spending so much time there. And then because a lot of times, you know, that those calls for whatever reason seem to happen during a party, late at night, or on a weekend, first thing in the morning, you know, something's happening and they want to get something done, and they, you know, then they kind of feel like, oh, you know, whatever it is you sold me isn't working, or, you know, you need to come out and fix it and make me happy. And it's just to be able to fix and troubleshoot something like that almost instantaneously is probably one of the best things to, especially on a home automation system. And there's, like I said, there's just so many devices, and depending on, you know, what different scale of projects you have, it's pretty convenient, and it makes sense as a company for you guys to exist, and I'm sure, you know, all your dealers love it.
Yeah, I think it's a win for everybody. It's a win for the customer. It's a win for the dealer. Everybody's got headaches that are solved by doing this. The customer hates calling the dealer as much as the dealer hates taking the time out of his own weekend to solve a problem. If you can do it remotely, everybody's happy.
They're just trying to do what they're doing, so is the dealer. I'm going to stop you really quick. I want to thank my sponsors again. If you guys are in commercial integration, check out Hypersign. Hypersign.com has all sorts of digital signage solutions. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, I wasn't previously doing that, but I kind of just started doing it in the last month or two. And where I'm out in wine country, there isn't a whole lot of like airports and things like that. But there are plenty of hotels where you're starting to implement these, and wineries are loving them. A few other places for the rest of us who are integrators, speakers, amps, racks, cables, on all the rest of the stuff that we were talking about here on the show today, you can get through atlassound.com and check them out. Ihiji, I feel, is... I could see you guys being, like, a really huge company in the next few... I mean, not that you're not already, but, like, just growing enormously. And are you like, an international company or just here in the States?
Yeah, we service dealers all around the world. So ISC a year and a half ago, or I guess a year ago, was our first real launch, although we've been servicing customers in New Zealand, Australia, Europe, even before then. We are starting an international expansion along with this show this year.
And then do you guys try and keep your dealer base, like, you know, like their territorial kind of a thing? I know some companies try and, you know, this is your era, but sometimes depending on growth and such, it's kind of, it makes more sense for the manufacturer or the company to kind of just give whoever, you know, dealership with them, or.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the best way to answer that is our tool is, it's a clean slate. When the dealer installs it, it's up to them how they use it. So we don't have many territorial issues because all dealers use it a little differently. Some dealers use it as an internal service support tool to provide better service to the customers.
Okay.
Other dealers wrap it into a network management solution and sell it along with their networks. It's just a network management tool. And some dealers even take it further and offer it as part of an all-inclusive client care plan or preventative maintenance agreement for the customers. So it really, we don't have a lot of territory restrictions because it's just every dealer uses it so differently.
Yeah, I see. We talked about like where you're kind of headed, I think. And then, but do you see Ihiji as pure or solely like a software company always?
Yeah, that's a great question. At our core, we are a software company.
Right.
However, we do have a hardware piece.
Right.
So we understand a little bit about hardware as well. And if you look at some of the creative solutions you can do with something like Ihiji and cloud-based network management, some of those ideas require a hardware accessory. So there is a chance that we'll offer additional pieces of hardware in the future. But I think we'll always be a software company at heart.
Right. I mean, it makes sense, obviously, that's what Ihiji is a cloud-based software company. But that's why I was kind of asking, is that, you know, like maybe at some point you'll end up manufacturing, X device that someone might be using elsewhere, but it makes more sense for Ahiji to have their own branded version of it and perhaps, have that software live on there or things that someone else might be doing, but Ahiji might make more sense for them to have their own version of it.
Yeah, and today what we've really focused pretty heavily on is finding good manufacturer partnerships.
Okay.
Finding manufacturers that do power management well, that do control well, that do temperature sensing well, flood sensing well, and partnering and doing integration with their product and bringing that product into the cloud. And I think we'll continue to do that as really lean on our manufacturers. If you look at the manufacturers we have and the partners we have on board, it's companies like Panamax and SnapAV and Control4 and Crestron,
Right.
some of the biggest names in the industry. And I really like that approach because they know hardware and we know software. And it's a good relationship that way.
What are your thoughts on kind of going back to the Internet of Things and talking about partnering on Google's acquisition of Nest?
I think it was it's a pretty shocking acquisition. It's a good move, I think, for Nest because Google brings a lot of resources that they didn't have. It's a good next step in the evolution of the company. It'll be interesting to see what Google does with it. I know they're operating pretty independently, but I was surprised, but at the same time, I think with a company like Nest, you expected somebody to try to to partner with them in one way or another to take it to the next level.
I thought, and I get mixed reviews from people I know that have them, but I thought Nest as a company as a whole was doing rather well. But here's the things that I hear people who have a Nest, it's a split, where they don't do the auto sensing and all that stuff, and they just kind of like to set the control to whatever that they want. And the other half, again, lets Nest kind of decide for them what it was meant to do. But it's kind of weird. I mean, that's just, we talk about the Internet of Things, that's one small device. And as Google acquired them, I see that as like, it's great for Nest, obviously, for a company that's like the next big move for them. But for Google, the only thing I can see or reasoning behind it is that is like their next step into what they introduced a few years back called Google at Home, and their sort of home automation step forward with their Android Home products. And they showed us like a light bulb, a smart connected light bulb. But I mean, Philips Hue is doing that, and I think that's a great little product, and that's something, and that lives on a little IP hub. Connect that thing, and then it's wireless over to the light bulb. So if I had a bunch of those little Philips Hue lamps in my house, Ahiji would be able to monitor all that, correct?
Yeah, even if you have a collection of devices. So even if I look at my house and I don't have an automation system, it's pretty straightforward. But I've got multiple Apple TVs and Rokus and a Western Digital box and Chromecasts and media PCs and things like that. You want to be able to see what's going on with everything. It's not a very complex system, but there's a lot of little individual devices. And if I've got friends or family staying at the house and they can't figure out how to use it, I can dial right in from my cell phone and see that, just turn it on. Or I can take complete control over the computer and start the movie for them. It's really pretty handy and convenient for supporting a customer, even in that instance. So yeah, I think as you add all these light bulbs and things like that, you want to see what's going on because I had wireless issues at one point and then I had ISP issues and you need to track down those issues and resolve them. And without having visibility, it's really tough to do.
Trying to figure out, like, okay, you have all these, what it may not be a fully automation system, but you do have all these, as technology progresses, people want to buy those Apple TVs, Rokus, a Nest, Philips Hue, these little things here and there, and they start piling up, and they're everywhere. And it sounds like you actually have a lot of them, because you mentioned Apple TV, Roku, and Chromecast,
Yeah, and the Western Digital,
and the
I
Western Digital.
little side project of how to ditch the cable. It's kind of turned into I have one of everything.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I have an older Western Digital in my dad's house, and then they have an Apple TV, and I have here, a Chromecast. I'm thinking about adding a couple Chromecasts throughout the house as a test, but it's interesting. Like I said, these are all little items, but as you start adding them room to room, things like that, then there's just multiple things going on and trying to figure out what's what, and it starts to pile up pretty quick here.
Yeah, I think a great analogy in this scenario is if you look at Android phones or iPhones, if you ask a customer, you have this smartphone, how many times a year do you have to reboot it?
Right.
They're going to say they've rebooted it at least once. Now, if you have all this connectivity, all these devices, these Chromecasts, these Apple TVs, these Sonos receivers in the house, those devices will occasionally need to be rebooted. So if the integrator can catch when that device goes down and reboot it remotely, and why wouldn't the customer should see the value in that? Because it's like having 20 or 30 different smartphones in your home where, yes, they'll have a problem here and there. And when they do have a problem, you want somebody to be there to take care of it as quickly and as painlessly as possible.
Right.
And I think one of the unfortunate things is when the customer is trying to stream, let's just use Netflix, for example, or Amazon Instant on a Friday night, that's when they're finding it doesn't work. It's not at 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoon when the integrator's in full swing and all of his techs are available. It's always at the worst time.
Right, when no one's around and it's
exactly.
Like alone time, they want to relax and just watch, you know, a simple movie, and then that's when something goes down or locks up.
Yep. And that's when the night's ruined, and that's when everybody's got the headaches.
Exactly. So, okay, so then at that point, though, right, like, say it locks up. At the point that it locks up or doesn't work, you know, something's going on, Aihiji will then effectively email me, the dealer direct, and say, hey, you know, Mrs. Smith is having an issue with her Apple TV or something.
Yeah, and, you know, what we really see is the problem with a lot of these devices isn't the device itself. Yes, the Apple TVs may lock up here and there,
okay.
Or the Sonos may need a reboot.
Okay.
But a lot of times it's the connectivity. It's when they turn it on, their neighbor and the apartment next to them and the apartment in front of them and the apartment behind them, they're all trying to watch a movie. So maybe the ISP is having problems, or maybe there's Wi-Fi interference.
Mm-hmm.
And those problems don't show themselves all the time. But if you've got 24/7 eyes on that system and watching the performance, the integrator can actually catch that bad connectivity. So a lot of it are problems that aren't being exposed until you put a good tool in place to show you what's going on. And that's what we see all the time. It's really surprising how much poor performance there is on the networks that integrators are installing that people are just aren't seeing until the worst possible times.
Do you have a place on your website where, whether it's a homeowner's story or the integrator shares that homeowner's story about, like, you know, things that had saved them, you know, X amount of time or you know, just best case scenarios, kind of things like that from preventing these horror stories that we kind of talked about that all those integrators have?
You know, as part of our, we actually offer I mentioned service contracts and client care plans
mm-hmm.
earlier. One of the things we've always done is helped integrators with this concept of a client care plan or preventative maintenance agreement
mm-hmm.
and putting those together to service their customers. So we have a complete resource kit that we provide to our dealers that helps them put a preventative maintenance agreement into place. And as part of that, we provide case studies. We provide analogies that they can use to talk to clients about things like regular maintenance. And this is another thing we haven't talked about, but what about the firmware upgrades that all these devices need?
Right.
If you have 20 or 30 devices and they're not getting their firmware updates, there's security concerns and there's performance and reliability concerns if those aren't done. So we kind of wrap all that into a nice package. And that's probably the closest thing I've got right now, but we're working on putting together better case studies and better scenarios, videos, testimonials, things like that as well.
Right. And so that's something that you provide to the dealer so that they can essentially show that stuff to the client.
Right. As part of some of our dealer programs, that's a free kit that's included so that they can offer this preventative maintenance to their customer. And that would include things like annual firmware upgrades, a 25-point annual inspection. Because a lot of the other things we see, especially on the higher-end systems, is clients are seasonal. So they've got a vacation home and, your market, say, Carmel. And the customer's there 2 months out of the year.
Right.
And when they're gone, all that technology's there, but nobody's doing anything with it. So when they come back 8 months later, there's a good chance that something got unplugged or something died and the maid knocked off a connector. So if you have an annual inspection program where you go in the month before the client comes to town and run through the entire system, you're going to catch a lot of those things that you wouldn't normally catch. And using that in combination with remote monitoring and management and remote access and remote reboots, you're really creating a very reliable system by doing proactive and preventative maintenance. And that's kind of the idea behind that package.
Wow. I think that's a really good service and package offering from your company. The company as a whole, I think, is brilliant, and I really wish that not on you guys, but I wish that this type of service was around much sooner. But as obviously as technology advances, so does the services and things that are capable and that we are able to do and provide to the homeowner or ourselves. Ihiji, if you go to www.ihiji.com, you can check out the company. If you're a dealer or if you're curious about becoming a dealer, you can check them out there. If you want to check out some of the stories and things like that I was looking at earlier, just ihiji.com/blog. And then, as always, I like to promote the social accounts. You can check them on the Twitters if it's still available tomorrow. I sure hope it is because I'm there often. It's at Ihiji. Their Facebook page is just facebook.com/Ihiji, and they have two video accounts. One is YouTube, one is Vimeo, both very popular. YouTube.com/Ihiji or Vimeo.com/Ihiji. Michael, if people want to contact you direct, what's the best way about going that?
The best thing to do is give us a call at the office, 512-538-0520.
Great.
And then there's plenty of information on the website as how to get in touch with us. Email us at info@ihiji.com. I get all those emails as well.
Awesome. And are you on Twitter or no?
I am GT Scalco, Scalco.
GT Scalco?
Yep.
Calco?
Yeah, so GTSCALCO is my Twitter handle.
Noted. I'm going to tweet you after this.
All right.
Mike, I appreciate the very informative information. That was kind of redundant. Informative stuff that you shared with us. I appreciate it. Again, you guys, remote monitoring and this kind of stuff that had been around in a while, I can guarantee that you will be making your money back and saving you and the client lots of time, headaches, and things because things tend to only go wrong for whatever reason. When people are just trying to relax on a weekend and it's a party, and to be able to not have to stop what you're doing and stop what they're doing and just kind of dial in really quick and see what's going on and be able to reboot if possible remotely is a time saver. It's a money saver. It's a necessity. It's definitely something that you should at least call Mike about and see what the options are for becoming a dealer or payment, things like that. Mike, again, thank you for being on the show. This was very, very informative, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks, John. It's great talking to you, and thanks to the podcast listeners out there for your time as well.
Yeah, and as you guys get a little farther into the company, again, congratulations on your 5th year here in summer. As you guys advance a little farther, I'd love to have you back. That'd be great.
Yeah, always happy to.
Okay, you guys, this has been another episode of AV Insider. My host, Mike Maniscalco or the co-founder of Ihiji, and I am Johnny Moto. You can check me out on Twitter at jmoto3 and most other places. This has been AV Insider. Thanks for listening.